Who are the real people we consider our sages? Who were they in life? What is the legacy they left us? Join Rabbi Danny Sackstein for the next hour as he explores the lives of our Torah giants, the spiritual geniuses who shaped the way we approach Judaism today. That's Focus on Our Sages right now on 101.9 Chai FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul to Soul. Great to be with you this warm Wednesday afternoon. Seems like it's cooling down a little bit outside. But here live from our studio, we are enjoying the air conditioner and the comfort. So we're going to talk about some fascinating things that are relevant to all of us as Jews. As we know, the event, the critical event that defines the Jewish people, that makes us into the nation who we are, is Maimed Har Sinai, is receiving the Torah at Mount Sinai. That is really everything. The definition of a Jew is somebody who is part of a nation who received the Torah from God at Mount Sinai more than 3,000 years ago. And that is where we came from. Those are our beginnings. That's our definition of a nation. That's our mission as a nation. That is who we are. We're a people of the Torah. We're a people of God. We're people that are the ones that God selected through whom to share His word, His law, His direction with the world. And that is the Torah. When our ancestors stood at Mount Sinai and received the Torah, more than 3 million people were there and did so. And so it's important for us to remind ourselves about the significance of this cataclysmic event in the history of the Jewish people, the most important event in the history of the Jewish people, and the event that still defines us as a people. We see the Torah pays a lot of attention. We're going to read about this in this week's Parsha, Parshas Yisroi, which is what we read on Shabbos, which discusses and describes that incredible moment when the nation, we're the only religion in the world that claims that our divine revelation was in the presence of the whole nation. We're not relying on the testimony of one individual like the other world religions. We're relying on the testimony of 3 million people that stood at Mount Sinai, which makes our argument much more powerful and puts a lot of strength behind our claims and our argument. In fact, it's fascinating and important to make note of the fact that the majority of the world's population to this day, to the year 2020, believe that that event took place. The majority of the world's population say that there was such an event where the creator of the universe, God, revealed himself to a nation, the Jewish people, and granted them his word, which is the Torah. So Muslims and Christians and Jews all believe that, which is the majority of the population of the world. So the event of Maimed Har Sinai is something that is very much a part of world history and is accepted as having happened by the world. And before we see the receiving of the Torah, so the Torah emphasizes a number of things. In other words, in order to be able to receive God's word, there's a certain amount of work and preparation which needs to take place. The first thing that needs to take place is that the Jewish people need to behave in the right way. We see that the Torah, this week's Parsha is called Parshas Yisroi. So the Parsha that deals with the giving of the Torah is actually called Parshas Yisroi. Now Yisroi was Moshe's father-in-law. Yisroi was a very inspiring figure in the ancient world. He was a powerful man. He was the person who was in charge of, at the head of the religious practices of the day, of the Avodah Zorah, that was the idol worship that was popular at that time. He was the equivalent of the Pope today. He was the head of their practice, of their worship of the time. And Yisroi heard what happened, and it says that Yishma Yisroi, he heard. Rashi tells us, what's that? What did he hear? He heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, about the splitting of the sea, and Mitzias Mitzrayim, the Jewish people coming out of Mitzrayim, and the battle with Amalek. That's what he heard. He heard about the war of Amalek and Kriyas Yamsuf. So he heard these incredible things, and he therefore decided to join the Jewish people, which was an incredible act, which we'll discuss when we return in a moment.
Thank you.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 High FM.
We're discussing the incredible act of Yisroel, leaving his position of power and influence. He was a wealthy man, and he heard about what had happened with the Jewish people coming through the sea, the splitting of the sea, the great miracle of the splitting of the sea. And he heard about the war against Amalek, and he realizes that God is present and revealing himself to this nation, and he wants to join the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael. There's a discussion. The Ramban brings the famous discussion as to whether Yisrael joined the Jewish people before Kabbalah Satorah or after Kabbalah Satorah. Did he come before the Torah was given, or did he come after the Torah was given? Now, we know that there's Ein Muktam Umu'uchar B'Torah. There's no chronological order. In other words, the events that are in the Torah are not necessarily in chronological order. Although the Torah describes that Yisrael came before Kabbalah Satorah, he may very well have come afterwards. But according to both opinions, whether he came before or afterwards, we see that the Torah makes a great fuss about telling us that Yisrael came to join the Jewish people, and the Jewish people went out to greet him and to welcome him amongst them. So why is such a, so that we know the principle is that the Torah is very sparing, is very stingy, is very precise with the words that it uses and with that which is written in the Torah. So there's nothing that's superfluous, there's nothing that's redundant in the Torah. And why is there so much emphasis before we actually, the Torah describes this great event at standing at Mount Sinai about Yisroel joining the Jewish people. And not only that, but the Parsha is called Parshas Yisroel. The Parsha in which the Torah is given is called Parshas Yisroel. So there's two beautiful reasons for this, which I think are great valuable lessons for us to this day. And the first one is that we know the famous principle, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, that one has to behave in the right way, and that precedes the receiving of the Torah. We have to behave as civil, moral, and sensitive human beings. And that's how we need to treat our fellow human beings. And that precedes the receiving of the Torah. When we behave in the right way, and when we behave with Derech Eretz, so then we are ready to receive the Torah. And if we don't behave with Derech Eretz in the right way, in terms of treating our fellow, so then we're not ready to receive the Torah, and the Torah won't have an impact on us as it is supposed to. So the Torah is emphasizing that Yisroel makes the effort to join the Jewish people, and so the Jewish people behaved in the appropriate way. They showed appreciation to Yisroel. They went out to greet him. It says Moshe went to greet Yisroel, and when Aaron sees Moshe going, Aaron went. When the Zakenim saw Moshe and Aaron going, so all the Zakenim, the elders, went. And when Klal Yisroel, when the Jewish people saw that Moshe, Aaron, and the elders went to greet this individual, they all got up and went out into the desert to greet Yisroel and his family and welcome them into the Jewish people, which is an incredible thing. But that's the lesson the Torah is teaching us. First and foremost, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, that the correct behavior is necessary and is warranted before we are ready to receive the Torah. That's the one explanation given. And the other one, which of course is such a valuable lesson to us, is that it's vital we have Derech Eretz, we have sensitivity, and we treat others with respect and with honor and with dignity, and that's our behavior as Jews. Secondly, we see that the Mesilas Yesharim says a beautiful principle. The Mesilas Yesharim says that anybody who chases after honor, kol ha-hoylech achar ha-kavod, ha-kavod borech mimeno. The Mesilas Yesharim says that anybody who walks and chases after honor, so the honor will flee from that individual. The kol ha-boirech min ha-kavod, boirech min ha-kavod, anybody who flees from honor, ha-kavod hoylech acharav, that then honor will chase after that person, will walk, go after that person. So people that are looking for honor, they want recognition, they want to be noticed, they want to be adorned and appreciated by the public. So those individuals that are looking for all the glory and honor, usually they won't find it. Usually it will be fleeting and it will move away from them. And those that are not interested in honor, and those that are not interested in the adulation of the masses, usually honor will follow them, will find them, will chase after them. There's a famous story about a chosid who went to his Rebbe. He went to the Kotzke Rebbe. And he said to the Kotzke Rebbe, there's a teaching that anybody who runs away from honor, so honor will, pursue him. So I've been running away from honor all my life and I've never received honor. So the Kotzke says, yes, but what that teaching means is that your problem is you've been looking behind you. As you're walking away, you've been turning around and looking to see where the honor is. Doesn't apply to such individuals, only those that are truly fleeing away from honor. So we see that Yisroel, this very much applies to Yisroel. Yisroel was a person who was in a position of tremendous power, both in terms of the honor he received and in terms of the wealth that he enjoyed from his position of power. And Yisroel says, I'm going to give up all of these deities and all of these false spiritual practices, and I will leave them behind in order to pursue the truth, in order to connect with the Jewish people and be a part of this nation of God. And because Yisroel leaves all of that honor and glory, so he receives the greatest honor in the history of the Jewish people. Moses, Aaron, the elders, and all of Klal Yisroel get up and go out to meet Yisroel. He was the one who ran away from honor, and we see honor pursued him and chased him. And he received this tremendous honor that he deserved when he decided to join the Jewish people. We have examples, many examples of such individuals throughout Jewish history that have a great spiritual search and are looking for the truth, and they find Torah, and they give up their positions, and they give up their families, and they give up many of their sources of income in order to pursue the truth, in order to connect to God and the Torah and the Jewish people, and they convert to Judaism. There are many examples. We have a very modern day example here in South Africa. We have a very inspiring individual. His name is Shmuel Gordon, and he has pursued a similar journey. If you want to read about his fascinating story, go to esh.com. You'll see it's the leading article on the homepage of their website. So we see that Yisroel was afforded this great honor because he left all of his honor in order to join the Jewish people. Now, let's discuss a little bit about this situation. The Torah describes what the Jewish people had to do in preparation before they received the Torah. And it says that in order to receive the Torah, so Hashem says to the Jewish people, "Va'atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh," that you should be for me a nation of priests. And Rashi says Kohani means a nation of Sarim. Sarim means rulers, people that rule. So the purpose of Torah was that Klal Yisroel will be a Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, will be a nation of rulers. The question is, who are we supposed to rule? A nation of rulers, but who do we rule? The other nations. What's that verse in the Torah referring to? The verse that Hashem tells us the purpose of the Torah is that you'll be this nation of rulers, this holy nation. Who do we rule? And it's a very beautiful explanation we have from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The great, we talk about the sages in this time that we have on the radio, and we'd like to make reference to some of the great rabbis that have lived over the centuries. One of them being the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rabbi Chaim Ben Attar. The Or HaChaim was born in 1696, in Livorno in Italy, and he was a great spiritual leader. He made his way to Eretz Yisrael, and he died in 1743. He was a young man. He was only 47 years old, and he was a person who had a great impact on Klai. So he wrote his commentary called Or HaChaim al HaTorah, and on this verse, he describes something so beautiful. He says that which it says that we are rulers over ourselves. That's what God's referring to. That the Jewish people are people that rule themselves, that have self-control, and the result of that is to be a Goy Kadosh. And the Or HaChaim says we see this from the preparation to Kabbalah Satoira. The preparation to receiving the Torah, so the verse says, if you're at home and you want to look it up in your Chumash, it's Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Beis, chapter 19, verse number 2 in Shmos, in Exodus. that says, the pasuk says, v'yisum refidim, that the Jewish people left the place called Refidim, v'yavo'u midbar Sinai, and they came to the desert of Sinai, v'yachanu b'midbar v'yichan sham, and they encamped in the desert, and they, v'yichan sham, they made an encampment over there, in the desert. So the Orachaim says there's three different things over here. There's v'yisum refidim, Mimidbar Sinai v'yachanu sham. Each one is referring to a different part of preparation that we have to make in order to receive the Torah. The first one, which is v'yisu merefidim, so says the Orach Chaim, that's referring to the fact that they were rafo yedei min haTorah. That's what Rashi says on the spot. And the Orach Chaim explains, v'yilachem im Yisrael berefidim, but we find that Amalek attacked them at Refidim, and that's where they came from. Because it was berifayin yadam, that they min haTorah, they weakened their resolve and connection to Torah. V'heim ata nisu mibachinazu v'achinu atzman la'avod avoidas masa benoem Hashem. So they had to leave Refidim, where they had weakened their resolve, and they now came to Midbar Sinai, and they had to strengthen their commitment to Hashem and to the Torah. Now, what does that mean, strengthening their commitment to Hashem and the Torah? So this first point that the pasuk says, the Yisum Refidim, is actually referring to a person releasing and moving away from their own physical pleasures. Now, in order to learn Torah and develop in Torah, we can't be too fixated and involved in physical pleasures in this world, because we won't be able to give ourselves over to the Torah if that's the case. Now, many people think the reason for that is because as a Jew, we have to, a holy person, a spiritual person, removes themselves from spiritual pleasures that exist in this world, what we call taivas, physical desires and physical pleasures. But that's not true. That's not a Jewish concept. That's a Christian concept. That within Judaism, one is allowed to enjoy the pleasures of this world, as long as it's within the context of halacha, within the bounds that Hashem told us it needs to be. But it's not, we don't remove ourselves from physical pleasure to turn ourselves into misery and to become these ascetics, you know, in monasteries. That's not a Jewish concept at all. But the reason why we don't overindulge in the physicality is because we need to, the depth behind that is that the more engaged we are in the material, the more selfish we become, the more it is about us and about my needs and my desires and my pleasures. So it's not that you just can't have an extra piece of pizza and you can't have a, you know, another piece of cake. It's that when you're doing that, you are expanding the self. It's all about the I. I'm feeding the me. And in order to connect to Torah, we have to limit that I. We have to limit those physical pleasures and those taivas and allow the soul of Torah to enter into our being. So that's what the first point, says the Orach Chaim, is, that God is telling us, for Yisum Refidim, that you have to leave Refidim, you have to leave your weakening from Torah, which is overindulgence in physical pleasures, and you have to then give yourself over to the Torah. So that's the first point that he makes, which is a very powerful one. Second one, says the Orach Chaim, is that he says the second point is, the pasuk says that they v'yavo midbar Sinai. They came to the midbar, the desert of Sinai. It says the Orach Chaim, who hashiflos v'anava. That's referring to the Jewish people having to work on humility. Ki ein divrei Torah miskaimim ela b'mi shemashpil atzmo umesim atzmo kemidbar. The Torah only will last and will be a part of a person who humbles himself like a midbar, like a desert. What is the midbar? Perush, lashon shiflus v'anava, kemidbar she'akol dorchim alav. A midbar, a desert, is a place, nothing grows there, everybody walks on the desert, and so a person needs to be somebody who's humble, and who controls their ego, and controls their arrogance, because an arrogant person does not have an attitude of gratitude. An arrogant person walks around as if they are the ones that brought themselves into this world. And the idea of anava, which means humility in the Torah, is not that a person's a doormat and a person's nothing and a person's, you know, is a shmata. No. The purpose of what it means to be an anav is somebody who recognizes the talents they have, but sees that those are gifts from God. That's the anav. That's the humble person. The Alt of Kelm quotes the pasuk that says, "Hu hanoisen l'cha koyach la'asos chayo," that Hashem is the one. The humble person realizes that Hashem is the one who gives us the strength in order to succeed in any given area. So the anav, the humble person, is the one that controls their cover. So the first preparation of Torah, says the Or HaChaim, is taiva, to control your desires of taiva. The second one is to control your cover, not to be an arrogant person, but to a humble person. Only to a humble person will the Torah penetrate and enter and change that person. The arrogant person won't allow the Torah to come in, to come close, and to be a part of them. That's number two. Number three, says the Or HaChaim, is what the pasuk says, that the vayachanu b'midbar vayichan sham, that they encamped there in the midbar. And it says the Or HaChaim, that's the lashon of unity. Hu b'chinas yichud chachamim b'hit b'achros b'lev shalem v'tamim lo shiyu bad b'bad. It means that people were not separate from one another, but rather they joined together as a whole team. V'yiten sham Yisrael lashon yachid. Because how do we know that? Where does he see it in the pasuk? It says yichan sham. That's the lashon. That's an expression of singularity. V'yichan. It should say v'yachanu. It says v'yichan sham. They encamped there because they were one single unit. Shenasu kulam yachad ki ish echad. V'hen atahem ru'im l'kabbalah satorah. Says the Or HaChaim that once they encamped together as one single unit, so now they were ready for Kabbalah Satorah. And he said, the reason that we have unity is the ability of the individual to give themselves over to the whole. Unity is not that, is that we want to come together because enjoying an experience with more people, collaborating with others, is a greater experience. Like when I go to a concert, listen to music, oh, it's much nicer if there's 50,000 people there. It creates a vibe. And that's not the idea of unity that the Torah is talking about. Because that's for the individual. For me, it's a better experience. That's not real unity. Real unity is when the individual gives themselves over to the group, when the importance of the group supersedes the importance of the individual. So that's for Yichan Sham, is that Klal Yisrael were in sync and realized that this body called the Jewish people was more powerful and had a greater significance than my own individual needs and wants. So the individual gave themselves over to the klal, to the group, to the body of the Jewish people. That's real achdus, real unity. And that comes to counter kina, when there's fraction, when there's tension between individuals, there's jealousy between one another. So we only true unity comes when there's no kina, when there's no jealousy amongst those individuals. We know that, as I often make reference to, I'm a big soccer fan. I'm a big Liverpool fan. It's great right now to be a Liverpool fan because they're doing so well. But the greatest challenge for a football manager is to take the individuals who are supremely talented and earning ridiculous amounts of money, earning over 3 million rand a week, the top players. So the manager's got to create an atmosphere where the team is more important than the individual, where the success and the role individual plays in the team supersedes the personal glory of the individual. That's called achdus. That's called unity. And a good manager instills that even in these young superstars that are, you know, so famous and so talented and earning so much money. So he's able to create such an environment where the team is more important than the individual. That's called unity. That's called achdus. And that's what happened at Har Sinai. The Jewish people, they realized that this group, this family, this nation called the Jewish people was more important than individuals in that nation. And that's what the unity was. So says the Or HaChaim, those three things were absolutely necessary prerequisites to the receiving of the Torah, to control our taiva, our desires, to control our kavod, to be humble people, anavim, and to be united and control the kina, jealousy. Once we worked on those three qualities, then we're ready to receive the Torah. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 High FM.
We've been talking about the wonderful teaching of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rabbi Chaim ben Attar, in emphasizing to us for the Jewish people to receive the Torah, to be ready to receive the Torah, so they had to work on themselves. They had to work on these three critical aspects of the human personality, on their kina, on their taiva, on their kavod, on jealousy, encountering jealousy, being united with others, on taiva, which means our physical desires overtake us, and we become so self-indulgent that we are unable to connect to something beyond ourselves, something spiritual, and our kavod, which means our arrogance. We need to lower ourselves and be like the midbar, like the desert, in order to be able to accept the Torah, for the Torah to enter and to penetrate us. Once we do that work in these areas, so then we're ready to receive the great and holy Torah. And that's what the Vilna Gaon says. The Vilna Gaon says a beautiful teaching. The pasuk in Parshas Ha'azinu says, "Ve'ya'arof kamata likhi," which means, "May my teachings drop like rain." That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in Parshas Ha'azinu. And the Torah we see is referred to, is compared to rain. Says the Gaon that the message over here is that when rain falls on the field, rain provides energy, and whatever is there is going to grow. So if you, depends on what you've planted in the field. If you've plowed and you've planted seeds, you've planted vegetables, you've planted fruit seeds. So whatever the rain will then, we've had beautiful rains in the last couple of days here in Johannesburg, and so may they continue. So the rains bring out whatever is planted in the ground. But if nobody, no seeds have been planted, nothing productive has been planted, so then the rain is going to provide energy, going to provide nutrients to the ground, and weeds will grow. So the rain is that power and energy, and the Torah is like rain. Torah is unbridled energy. It's nuclear energy that God has given to the world, and whatever is there will come out. So if a person hasn't worked on their midas, as we said in the beginning, with Yisro, the lesson of Yisro is Derech Eretz Kadma L'Torah. If a person hasn't worked on the Derech Eretz, if a person hasn't worked on, like the Or HaChaim said, of those three things, of Kina, Taiva, Kavod, of our desires, of our jealousy and of our pursuit for power, if a person, if those things are not in check, and it means that our midos, our character, is not up to scratch, our character is not a positive one, but a negative one, so then the Torah will bring that out too. Torah only has a positive impact if it is going to be energizing seeds that are grown, productive seeds that are planted. But the nuclear power of Torah can also bring out negative qualities if a person hasn't worked on themselves and hasn't emphasized those aspects of their being. And that's what the Ramchal actually says, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, in Derech Hashem, in his famous work called Derech Hashem, The Way of God. He says the most powerful shefa is a divine energy, a divine flow, and that comes into this world, is the Torah. There's no divine power that influences the world like Torah. And therefore, the introduction to the Torah, says the Or HaChaim, is that we have to have worked on ourselves. We have to have worked on these qualities of kina, taiva, and kavod, and then Torah will purify us and will elevate us and will bring out those positive aspects of our being and our personality. But if we don't work on ourselves, and if we don't make an effort to control these areas of our being, of our jealousy, of our physical desires, of our pursuit for power, so then the Torah will bring out those negative aspects in our personality. As the Gemara in Yuma says, it's also the Zohar that quotes, Zachar naaseh samachaim, if a person merits, so the Torah becomes a potion of life. The Torah brings a person tremendous beauty and life and eternal spiritual greatness. Lo zachar, but if a person is not zoicher, naaseh samamavis. The Torah can actually be destructive to a person if they haven't worked on themselves, if they haven't developed themselves. And that's what the Or HaChaim is saying. Hashem's telling us in this introduction that you should be a mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh, a holy nation, a nation of rulers. We have to rule over ourselves. We have to have self-control, and we have to work on ourselves. And then the Torah will make us a goy kadosh. Then we'll be a holy nation. So the requirement and prerequisite is to having self-control. And as we all know, that's the hardest thing. not easy at all to engage in, to develop within ourselves a self-control where we control ourselves. The Torah tells us about the Avos and the Maos, our great spiritual giants, the trailblazers who were at the foundation, the founders of the Jewish people. Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Velea. So it says, V'yisa esanav, when it refers to him, it says, V'yisa esanav, he lifted his eyes. Or V'yisa esraglav, he lifted his feet. So the Mephoshim asked, why does the Torah have to say, V'yisa, he lifted his eyes, lifted his feet? He walked, or he saw, or she walked, or she saw. And what's these extra words that are redundant? Torah says, because nothing was random in the behavior of the Amos, Avos and Imas, of our patriarchs and matriarchs. That everything was done that was thought out and that was in a situation of control, and it was well measured, was perfectly measured and designed, that merited the response of that particular circumstance or situation. You know, most of us, we just roll, you know, we go with the flow, and we just, whatever our animal instincts respond to the situation, so that's our knee-jerk reaction to the circumstances that we're in. But God wants us to have self-control. God wants us to learn to slow down and to think about what's going on and to process the circumstances through the filter of the intellect of the mind. And that's why the mind has great emphasis in Torah. And Torah learning is, within Judaism, a very high ideal, because Torah learning develops the mind and sharpens the intellect and gives us the ability to think about what we're doing and to filter our actions through the filter of Torah. In other words, through the value system and framework of Torah that God has given us, that God gave us at Mount Sinai. So that's a holy person, and that's what it means, Mamleches Kohanim, a nation of Sarim, of rulers, ruling over ourselves. And when we succeed in, that's the purpose of Torah. That's what Hashem's saying. The purpose of this Torah that I'm about to give you is to turn you, to make you into a nation of Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, a nation of rulers over yourself and a holy nation. And then, so when we learn to rule ourselves, so then we become holy people. The direct consequence of that, with the input of Torah, becomes a holy nation. Please stay back with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 High FM.
We've been talking about the great event of Kabbalah Satorah, receiving the Torah Maimed Har Sinai, when the Jewish people stood at Mount Sinai and God spoke directly to them. We said in order for them to get there and to be able to receive the Torah in the right way, there were necessary preparations that had to be made. Firstly, the Jewish people had to realize Derech Eretz Kadlim Torah. To treat others in the right way is an essential prerequisite to the Torah, and their approach, their response to Yisro joining them was in the correct, the Torah emphasizing that they behaved in the right way. We've also seen that the Orach Chaim HaKadosh emphasizes that God was telling the Jewish people that in order to receive the Torah, they had to learn self-control, to be the nation of Mamleches Kohanim, a nation of Sarim, a nation of rulers, rulers over themselves. They would have to work on their kina, taiva, and kavod, on their pursuit of their jealousy and their pursuit of power and pleasure. And that's the work what one has to do. And then the Torah will turn us into a holy people. But just like the rain that falls on the field that has, the seeds have not been, there's been no plowing and there's been no planting, so the weeds will come out. Sometimes the Torah could bring out the worst in us, the nuclear power of the Torah. But if we've done the preparation and groundwork, Torah will bring out our greatness and will connect us to God and connect us to eternity. There's just one last idea I want to share before we end, and that is a beautiful idea from the Noam Elimelech, Rav Elimelech Midizhensk. We call him Rebbe Elimelech, the Rebbe Elimelech. So he's got a great thought on last week's parsha. Last week's parsha, we saw the Jewish people came through the sea, that the sea split, and they walked through, and the Egyptian army pursued them to try and attack them and kill them, and the sea closed on the Egyptians. And the pasuk says, Ubnei Yisrael halchu b'yabasha b'tzochayam, that the Jewish people walked on the dry land in the sea. So the simple understanding of that verse is the Jewish people walked on dry land, which was in the sea. Inside the sea, it had split and had become dry land. So they walked on the dry land that was in the sea. But says the Rebbe Elimelech, that this is a great teaching for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people, for all ages. That the mindset of a Jew is Halchu Bnei Yisrael, Halchu B'Yabasha B'Toch Hayam. Even if we're on dry land, we understand that we're B'Toch Hayam. We see that the miracles of life on the dry land are just as great as the miracles of the splitting of the sea. And that's something that we need to train ourselves and wear Torah lenses and understand and see that the tremendous gifts of life and miracles that God gives us abound in all of our lives. Every single one of us is a recipient of God's tremendous kindness and blessings. Just to be alive, just to be breathing, with air going into our lungs, with our hearts beating, with our digestive system functioning, those are tremendous, intricate, wonderful blessings that God bestows upon all of us. And that's apart from the families that we have and the countries that we live in and the means of income we have to support ourselves and the incredible miracles that happen for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people constantly. So we need to open our eyes and see. We're standing on dry land and we are in the sea. Yesterday I went for my checkup, my annual checkup, and it's a good thing to do. Baruch Hashem, all is good. And the doctor did an ultrasound and looked at many of my major organs, my heart and my spleen and my liver and my kidneys, and it's just incredible what's going on under the surface, under our skin, and our bodies are so perfect, and so each organ is so intricate and so complicated and detailed, the job it does, and they all fit together into a single organism of the human being. The miracles of our bodies are just breathtaking. And the miracles of this world are breathtaking. Here in Africa, we can go into our magnificent African bushveld and one just sees a clear and open display of God's greatness in front of our eyes. And the complexities and the diversity and the beauty and the perfection of the world that God created for us, the natural world and the world of the human body and the different challenges that we all face in our lives. It's obvious and clear that there's a God who's running the world, and our role as Jews is to serve that God by working on ourselves, by accepting the Torah, by allowing the Torah, the nuclear power of the Torah, to turn us into holy beings. And that's the purpose for which we were created. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.